Good morning. Greetings in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jonathan, for those thoughts. I think it goes well with what's on my mind this morning to share, and just really appreciated the service so far. It's been good to be here. It's good to see all of you. We've been gone the last few days to a family reunion, and you know it's good to be with family. But you know it's a real blessing to come home and be with church family as well. Just really good to see all of you here this morning. I'd like to talk this morning on a subject that I don't know that we talk about just a lot, and you may wonder a bit when I give you the title as to what is coming. But I think I can assure you that it's not the way it sounds. So the title of the message this morning is Let Freedom Ring. Have we heard that recently? And I understand that Brian Hendricks preached a message last Sunday on non-resistance. I actually would have loved to have heard that message. I tried to go back in on the website and listen to it, and I guess it wasn't uploaded yet. So there may be some crossover, but if there is, I trust that you can take it as the Word of God, something that we need. I wonder what the word freedom means to you this morning. As you think of freedom, how do you view freedom? What does that, when you hear the word freedom, what comes to your mind? You know, as young people, especially maybe we start getting into the teenage years and we start looking forward to getting a little bit of freedom. Maybe we like to get some of our own money. That gives us some freedom. We can go buy what we want. And then we start looking forward to being 16, getting our driver's license. That gives us some freedom. We can go where we want to. And then as we get older, we think of maybe dating or getting married. It gives us some freedom, right? Freedom to do what we want to do, right? The truth is, we all like freedom. Every one of us like freedom. We don't like to be restricted. I looked up the definition of freedom. It says the power or right to act, speak, or think without hindrance or restraint. We all like that, right? We like freedom. Well, the goal of the message this morning is to give us an understanding of what true freedom is, where it is found. And with that, I'd like to look at the two kingdoms that we see, that we have, the two kingdom concept a bit. You know, I'll get to that later. Like to first of all tell you about my friend, and I think I may have talked about him before. He passed away a couple years ago. I had a friend up in the Richmond area before we moved here, and we maintained friendship even after we moved here. He was a friend of mine for 20 years or more. His name was Forrest Trindle. When we moved to Richmond, soon after we were married, the place where I worked, Forrest would come to the shop where I worked. He had just retired from Ford Motor Company. He worked in Kansas City as a as a vehicle builder. I don't know exactly what his job was, but there was a Ford plant there that he worked at. Forrest was a nice man. He was friendly, loved to laugh, and him and I somehow just connected. He was a ex-military man. He was a strong Democrat, which we didn't talk about a lot, but he was. He was one of the tough guys. He was not a Christian. If someone would cross his path, his response was many times he would cut those people off and never talk to them again. He told me a lot of stories. One example was he didn't care what kind of a vehicle you drove as long as it wasn't a foreign-made vehicle. He was a strong American. He had he told me this story. He said he had a friend that bought a Toyota pickup and pulled into his driveway right after he bought it to come show him his little pickup. And he said he stepped out on the porch, and as the man stepped out, he said, I don't want that kind of trash in my driveway. Take it out and park it on the highway. He said that man got in his little Toyota pickup. He drove away, and he said, I never talked to that man again. He said, I lost a friend that day. That was Forrest. He was a tough guy. He said, I wasn't trying to that day. He said, I wasn't really trying to. He said, I liked him. But he said, I lost a friend that day. Another example is that him and his son, he had one son and one daughter. He maintained friendship with his daughter, but many years before, him and his son had a disagreement, and they cut each other off. Very sad. And to his dying day, he was never reconciled with his son. Never spoke to him after that. That was Forrest. This time of the year, we hear much about freedom. And you know, we're thankful for the freedom that we have, the religious freedom that we have. Not every place has that freedom. And I think it's valuable to us as Christians to have that religious freedom. I think it's important that we thank God for it. We recognize it as a gift from God. However, I think it's also important for us as Christians to recognize that the freedom that the world is celebrating right now is a different freedom than we as Christians recognize and celebrate. We see many people around us that are all about God and country. And I'm not here to make a judgment call on those people at all. Not here to judge anyone. But I think in a society like that, it's easy for us as Christians to have the lines blurred in our mind between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the world. I would like to look at some of those differences today. And you may have seen what I have on the board up here. One distinct difference: the freedom that the world celebrates is the freedom to do what I want to do. The freedom of the believer is the freedom from sin and the freedom to serve others. And I'd like to take your attention to what we have up here. Many people view the two kingdoms as two parallel lines that run together. Right here. The kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the world. We're going the same direction. And they cross over. Many people in our society view it that way. In all reality, the two kingdoms are like this. They're a line. One is going that direction and one is going that direction. They cannot mix. They cannot mix. And it's important for us to remember that we are a part of one or we're a part of the other. What is the difference? Well, we have some of the contrasts here. Light and darkness, good and evil, faith or fear, God's power versus man's strength, peace or violence. Jesus says in John 18:36, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight." I'm sure Brian Hendricks got into that last Sunday, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. But that's one thing that Jesus said. My kingdom is not of this world. I'd like to look at a scripture this morning, a chapter back in the Old Testament, and we're going to spend a fair bit of time here, and that is in Daniel chapter 3. If you could turn there, we are going to read the entire chapter. And I think in this chapter we see very much what we see today. Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, he shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. He rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. The form of the 4th is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This is a story that most of us have heard since we were very small. A childhood story that we remember from way back. I'd like to draw some parallels from this story to our time today. I'd like to first of all look at Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, I think, was a conqueror. Babylon at this time was, I think, the most powerful nation in the world. He was a powerful leader. And this was a celebration, much like we would see today, I would say. There was music. And I think the people felt good. They were happy. We have a powerful leader. We have Babylon is powerful. We have a strong military. We've been victorious. We're going to celebrate. In that celebration was also a worship. And Nebuchadnezzar was at the heart of that. Nebuchadnezzar was used to getting what he wanted by force. Let's look at Nebuchadnezzar's view of freedom. And we're reading into his life here from what we see. Nebuchadnezzar's view of freedom was the biggest, most powerful, and best will win. The smartest. And in his eyes, that is me. Us as a nation, we are the most powerful. No question, but we will win. And freedom is conquering by force and rising to the top. And that's how Nebuchadnezzar viewed freedom. It's obvious the way he viewed it. He had a very high, elevated view of himself and of his kingdom. And we see that in the next chapter, how God brought him down. I'd like to look at Nebuchadnezzar's view of God. If we look back in chapter 2, the very end of chapter 2, this was right after Daniel had interpreted a dream for Nebuchadnezzar. And I'd like to just read a few verses there. It talks about how Nebuchadnezzar responded. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret." Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. We'll stop there. I'd like to just look, and then in the last part of chapter 3 as well, notice his words about the God of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. He recognized and he respected their God, but he did not make a commitment to him. He saw the God of heaven. He saw them. It's obvious that he saw Daniel's as Daniel's God, not my God. That's Daniel's God. Same way with the three men here. It seems like he viewed him the same way. That's their God. And he respected the power. He saw how God had worked, but he made no commitment. General society around us today views God much the same way. Many people see God as a powerful God, but their understanding and their commitment to him is not there. Therefore, they view freedom much the same way that Nebuchadnezzar did. Now I'd like to look at the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How did they view freedom? These men had been captured by Nebuchadnezzar. They had been captured by the country of Babylon. They were servants in that kingdom. They had no choice. They were serving in that kingdom. They were part of that kingdom, and yet, obviously, there was a separation to them in their hearts. They were separate. Serving God above the kingdom brought them freedom, obviously, and their response to the call to fall down and worship this image. They viewed God as higher than the king's command. Serving God above the kingdom brought freedom. Faith in God brought freedom. And commitment to God brought freedom. And freedom was resting in the power of God and recognizing that God's power was what would save them, not their own. And then I love their response in verses 17 and 18. It's interesting that Nebuchadnezzar was going to give them a second chance. He thought maybe they didn't understand the command. But they said, we don't have to go again. We don't have to do that again. It says, if so be that our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know, for us as Christians today, that should be our stance. That should be our response. There should be a separation in our heart. Even though we're a part of this world, we have that kingdom. We're surrounded by that earthly kingdom of this world. We're surrounded by it every day. But there must be a separation in our hearts that we are serving God. We have a higher calling. Just like these men. And when the test comes, we will be able to respond in the way that they did. I love their commitment, and I just think it's so important that we make that same commitment in ourselves. Now I'd like to look at Daniel chapter 4, looking again at Nebuchadnezzar and his view of God, and how in chapter 4 here, we know this story as well. Nebuchadnezzar was brought down. God brought him down. And there again, it came by a dream that was interpreted by Daniel. And he was made to go out with the beasts of the field for a time. And just terrible conditions. God humbled him because he, in this chapter again, we see that he walked through the kingdom. He said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by my might and by my power, for the honesty of my, for the honor of my majesty?" Which I think refers back to what we read earlier. You know, that happened before these other accounts, and Nebuchadnezzar had recognized God, but he did not give him his rightful place. And then at the end of Daniel chapter 4, I'd like to read verses 34 to 37. "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the time my reason returned unto me, for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and my brightness returned unto me, my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride he is able to abase." I see a difference in the way Nebuchadnezzar writes this than what he did in the other two places. It appears that Nebuchadnezzar finally saw God for who he was and made a commitment to him. He praised him personally here. He did not refer to him as Daniel's God or the Hebrews' God or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God. He referred to him as his God. And I think that's where we find freedom, is when we recognize God for who he is and we make that commitment personally. How do you view freedom? Where do we find true freedom today? The freedom of the world, again, is to do what I want to do. And the freedom of the believer is to serve. Jesus says in John 8, verse 31 and 32, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Who is truth? Christ is truth. Christ himself is the embodiment of truth. And Christ is saying, "The truth shall make you free." And as we think of that, where do we find freedom today? Isn't it in committing our lives to Christ and following him and being a part of his kingdom and recognizing that he is God, he is the one that we serve? I'd like to come back to my story about my friend, Forrest Trendle. Forrest lived a life like that most of his life. He was tough. Like I said, he was a tough guy. A guy that men in our society would admire. He made things happen. About 2 years ago, he passed away. And it was sometime before that, I don't remember exactly how long it was before that, we had found out that he was in the hospital in Kansas City, so our family drove up to see him. And, of course, it surprised him. He didn't know we were coming. But walked in there, and we just visited for a while. And obviously in the room, Frieda and I couldn't converse among ourselves. But before we walked out of that room, he told me that he had given his heart to God. And I was amazed. But we walked out of there, and we both knew that something was different about Forrest when we were in that room. There was a peace there that had never been there before. Forrest was at peace with God. And they said when we weren't there when he passed away. He passed away, I think, about 6 months later. He was at home. He had just got home from the hospital. They thought he had a few weeks yet. And he died very quickly after they got him home. But they said he died very peacefully. I have confidence today that when I get to heaven, my friend Forrest will be there. Where do we find our freedom? Do we find it in Christ? Do we find it in force? Forcing our own way and doing the things that we want to do. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I'd like to leave you with that verse. Those of us that have been made free from sin, we have joined the kingdom of God. Let's not go back to that earthly kingdom and be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This week, as we go from here, this next week, I ask you, let your freedom ring. The freedom that's in your heart, it will show itself in the expression on your face, the way you respond to circumstances, the way we respond to life, the way we respond to people. Let freedom ring as Christians, the true freedom of Christ. And let's tell others. God has given us that responsibility. Let's go from here and do that. God bless you all. Thank you for your attention. Let's stand for prayer. Our Father God, we thank you this morning for your wonderful grace. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for every person in this room and those that are listening in as well. Would you bless each heart and life? May we find the freedom that comes from serving you and serving others and not serving ourselves. I pray that you would bless each of us as we go from here. Bless us this week. As we go into the world around us, help us, Lord, that we could follow you and that we could let your freedom ring to those around us. Continue to guide us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.